The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21, Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you today?
Fantastic. How are you?
Not too bad.
For the second week in a row, we have Pete Fargo, owner of New Tech Energy Solutions. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackie. It's great to be here.
Great that you came back to be with us. Now, this is the second week in a row this time, but you were here also 2 years visiting us, and we had great shows then as well. You are a building performance consultant and an energy auditor, correct?
Correct.
All right. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m., where we discuss everything real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been guiding, assisting, and advising clients in real estate matters for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions, or if you'd like to suggest a topic, something we haven't covered, send it to questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or give us a call at 570-344-6724.
Our archive radio shows are on jruddy.com, jruddy.com, and you can listen anytime of the day or night. Also, view our listings or search the MLS listings by going to jruddy.com, jruddy.com. Like us on Facebook at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Okay, Pete Fargo, owner of New Tech Energy Solutions. What do you do every day when you get out of bed? What do you do with your life?
Well, we help people save energy in their homes and buildings, and we also help create a better environment within the home and the building.
Air quality,
combustion safety, moisture controls, things like that.
How does someone get in touch with you?
Best thing to do is call my phone at 570-490-3928. Again, 570-490-3928.
Last week, we spent a great deal of time on the energy audit process and some of the things that you look for that cause energy loss. This week, I thought we would talk about, well, after you're done making all these repairs, sealing up this home so that there is not energy loss, does the air inside the home or the property, does that get compromised?
Absolutely. So part of our investigation of the house and part of our work scope is going to include what we need to do to keep a healthy indoor environment. So when we go into a home and write a work scope that includes, you know, tightening up the home, air sealing, added insulation, that is going to decrease the amount of natural air infiltration that goes in and out of your home. Now that helps greatly reduce energy costs, because if you have the hot air leaking out of your home, because your home is leaky, your boiler or furnace has to work all the harder to keep up with it to keep you warm. So we have to plan for what happens after we seal up that home so that you still have adequate fresh air exchange in your house, you know, to keep you and your occupants healthy, and also to keep the structure healthy, so to speak, because we don't want moisture build up in the walls and ceiling cavities, and we don't want moisture build up in crawl spaces and basements. So we have to do certain things to control that, and that is part of the energy audit process. So whenever we have an implementation piece where we're going to go in and tighten up the home, right along with that is going to be a best route to ventilate the home also.
Okay, so what do you do?
So there's a couple different things that we can do. The simplest, the most economical, is to add what we call continuous exhaust ventilation. So it's really as simple as getting an or having your contractor get an Energy Star inline fan, which gets ducted into your home. It may have one ducted port into your home. We may do several depending on the size of the home and how much ventilation we think we need. And that fan can either run as a as a continually operated fan. In other words, it's running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at a certain CFM, or your cubic feet per minute of air being drawn through it. Or sometimes we do them on controlled timers, especially if the home's not occupied 24/7. If everybody's gone during the day, you know, we may only run it maybe 20 minutes on the hour or a half hour on the hour using an incremental timer that's connected directly to the fan. So that's the simplest, most economical way to do it. And what that really does, all that's really doing is creating a slight negative pressure on your house, which is drawing in a little bit of air, you know, through nooks and crannies, around windows, maybe around doors, because you can't perfectly seal a house. You know, something's going to leak a little bit. And that exhaust ventilation is basically drawing out stale moisture air and pulling in air from the outside into the home. Is that the best way to do it? Well, from an economic point of view, you know, it's definitely one way, and it does work. Is it the most optimal energy efficiency wise? No, but it is the most optimal economic wise. Other ways we can do it, we can use a separate ventilator called an HRV or an ERV. So that would be a heat recovery ventilator or an energy recovery ventilator. That looks like a large suitcase sized box, which has some ducting running out of it. And what that does is it brings in fresh air, runs it through a series of filters and a heat exchanger plate. At the same time, it's sucking out stale air from the house, running it through the heat exchanger plate, so that in the wintertime, when the fresh cold air is coming in, the stale warm air leaving is exchanging heat and transferring that heat into the incoming air. Now, those two air streams never touch each other because they go through separate plates in the heat exchanger. But the heat exchanges between the two. It's kind of a neat process. So, you know, that's probably the Cadillac option, so to speak.
It sounds like the Cadillac.
Yeah, it sounds like the Cadillac option. When we did our house, we did the can fan in the basement like you did. Yeah. We have a 4-inch pipe pulling out the air on one side of the basement. On the other side, we have a 4-inch pipe letting fresh air in, and it runs constantly. And like you said, it's only 18 watts, the motor, but ours constantly runs. But it moves a lot of air, and the basement never smells at all.
Yeah.
Nothing.
And again, like I said before, that's definitely the most economical route. And you can, if you have to, if you have a large or maybe a sprawling home, or if you have different levels and that you want to exhaust your crawl space or basement, you know, separately from your, maybe your bedroom floors.
That's what we did. We have a big house like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely the most economical option. Now with people, or with bedrooms and people that like to keep their doors closed at night when they're sleeping, when you're using that technique to exhaust ventilate your home, I recommend, if you're definitely going to keep the bedroom doors closed, is to do maybe a transfer grill, like maybe above the bedroom door. So all that is be like an HVAC register on each side of the wall, so that air can pass from the bedroom out into the main area where that fan is exhausting from. That just helps better flow, you know, through the bedroom, because one of the most important, other than the kitchen and or basements or crawl spaces, one of the most important areas to ventilate is the bedrooms, because we're never anywhere in a house for that long of a period of time, you know, concentrated. You know, you're in a bedroom for, you know, if you're lucky, 8 hours a night.
I wish. Yeah, that would be nice.
So, you know, and you're lying there, and if it's a husband and wife, there's two people. So that area in those rooms can get stale really quickly, especially if that bedroom's door is closed and it's wintertime and the window's closed tight and everything. So it's important that we think about how we're going to get that movement through the bedrooms at night, because it's a very, very important part of ventilation.
I wouldn't have thought of that. That's very interesting. Well, here's some of the statistics I have. 90% of your time, that's the proportion of the average American's time spent indoors. And the quality of indoor air is often worse than the air outside. Could you imagine?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, it can. Especially if you're living in you know, urban area. You know, that can definitely be an issue. If you're living in the city or in a busy town or on a busy street, air pollution entering your home is definitely something that's going to happen, and that there's different ways to deal with, but it should be dealt with.
And there's other areas that this bad air can come from. There's other components, there's other systems that this bad air can come in from. And
yes,
we talked about it a little bit before the show, but when you have wall air conditioners,
yes,
or window air conditioners.
Yep. Yes, so, you know, there's plenty of source, we call them source pollutants within a home, you know, let alone what's going on outside the home and being sucked into the home. There's plenty of things, you know, within the home that are causing, can cause poor indoor air quality. And like you mentioned, you know, window air conditioners, you know, if you really take a good look with a flashlight inside them, a lot of times you can see some mold growing in there, and at a minimum, you'll see dirt building up in there. So it's very important to keep those clean.
How do you clean them? Would you take them outside and hose them or vacuum them? Or?
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you, sometimes they're very difficult to clean, because you have to take the housing off to really do it right. You know, at least the faceplate off, you know, and then wipe them down. You got to be careful not to damage the coils. You know, those little things that look like little pieces of tinfoil all stacked together on the outside. Don't ever take a rag and wipe up and down on those, because those are the things that make your air conditioner work and make it efficient. So if you bend all those over and you flatten them out, I know kids love to take their fingers and do that.
That's right.
You completely just shot it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of a delicate operation and kind of a, you know, intrinsic operation to clean those things. But I do recommend at least trying to do it, keeping them clean, keeping them mold free.
Yeah, because I know somebody who took one out of their house that was there for like 25 years. And when they took it out, boy, it had every different color mold growing in that thing. It looked like a science experiment.
How often should you clean them?
Well, you know, I would keep an eye on them. You know, if you see anything building up, I mean, take at least, you know, when you go to install them, take the faceplate off, make sure the coils are clean and inside the blower, you know, where the air comes out. A lot of times, if you shine a flashlight back in there toward the blower, you'll see, you know, dirt and dust accumulated. And with dirt and dust and moisture, you have everything that you need to grow mold. You know, so.
And you're breathing it in when you're turning it on.
Yeah, as soon as you hit the button and it starts blowing air, it could potentially blow mold spores into your house. So
not good. Okay, well, we're headed towards the break. Before we go, Pete Vargo, owner of New Tech Energy Solutions, can we have your contact info, please?
Absolutely. Best way to reach me is on my phone, 570-490-3928. Again, 570-490-3928.
Thank you. Pat, would you like to review a listing?
Yes, we have a move-in ready ranch located at 713 East Swinnick Drive in the Swinnick Development in Dunmore. It's a lovely three-bedroom, three-bath home that's only 19 years old. It has central air conditioning, a built-in two-car garage, and the home has been very well taken care of. And all of this is on a large level lot. So if you need a three-bedroom, three-bath home in Dunmore, give us a call about 713 East Swinnick Drive for only $179,000. And that is listed by Tommy Sesso of our office.
Thank you, Pat. And the Greater Scranton Board of Realtors multi-list statistics for counties Lackawanna, Luzerne, Pike, Wayne, and Wyoming. Median sales price for two bedrooms or less on single family home, median sales price is $70,000. For three bedrooms or less on a single family home, the median sales price is $95,000. And for four bedrooms or more on a single family residential home, the median sales price is $136,000. On all types of residential single family homes, the median sales price is $102,000. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We'll be right back.
Does your home represent the person you are today, or does it represent the person you were 30 years ago? Now is the time to buy a home that fits your present needs. No three-car garage or backyard putting green, or maybe you just want the simple things. A private den where you can get some work done, or a finished bar where you and your friends can enjoy a few laughs. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate will work with you to find the one neighborhood, the one community that gives you the best value for the next 30 years. Whether it's time to move up or you are simplifying your life, life but don't want to sacrifice comfort? Call Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, 344-6724. That's 344-6724. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate will guide you from homepage to home while living up to the promise of the gold standard.
Hi, this is Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Is real estate on your mind? It's on ours 24/7. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or in need of an appraisal, you have questions, we have answers.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, in with my husband, fellow realtor partner, Pat Devaney.
Good morning again. We're doing good. I like this. This is good stuff.
This is good stuff. It has your interest.
Yes,
which,
it does.
Yes, it does. We have with us today Pete Vargo for the second week in a row, owner of New Tech Energy Solutions. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good.
You do building performance consulting and energy audits, right?
That's correct.
Okay. In the first half of the show, we talked about air quality in the home, in the residence, in a building. And how does someone continue to monitor their air quality? And, you know, things change, things happen. How do you monitor it? How do you keep on top of it, please?
Sure. We know with the advances in technology, now there's some pretty attainable air quality meters, so to speak, on the market that are fairly simple. We use them, you know, when a house goes through a retrofit, you know, and we do implement. Sometimes we'll actually monitor the air after the retrofit with a plan to ventilate if needed. Other times we know the ventilation will be needed. So, you know, we have that ventilation plan in place. Whether or not it's foolproof and whether or not it needs a little tweaking, we approach that by actually monitoring the indoor air quality, you know, after the fact. So we have these meters that'll measure CO2, which is basically what we breathe out when we respire. Not to be confused with CO, not to be confused with the poisonous, you know, gas carbon monoxide. You know, CO2 is what we breathe out. And the reason that we can use that as a benchmark for air quality is, you know, if you have, you know, 5-6 people living in the house, you know, of course they're all breathing, hopefully.
Hopefully.
So when they're in the house and it's wintertime and it's all closed up, we can monitor those CO2 levels. And there's published benchmarks through like NIOSH and ASHRAE, which regulate different safety regulation and, you know, heating and air conditioning regulations, indoor air quality regulations. There's benchmarks that we can compare our CO2 levels within the house versus what these testing agencies are telling us, you know, what's healthy, what's not healthy, what's poor, what's medium, what's very good, what's not. So we have these meters that we have that can measure that. So, you know, after we do an implementation piece, we'll go into the house and do some measurements while the house is occupied. The house has to be occupied when we do these measurements. And then we'll take measurements in different areas in the house, because depending on our ventilation strategy, you know, the indoor air quality, there may be a disparity between one part of the house and the other, especially what we talked about before with it behind closed bedroom doors is usually where it's the worst. And then we can tweak our ventilation system, you know, based on these measurements, whether we have to add to it or just tweak it or add some transfer grills, you know. We'll do what we have to do to try to get that in balance. And we can also measure VOCs, which are volatile organic compounds, which your furniture, your new carpet, you know, your new vinyl, whatever it may
be. Your
drapes, your shower curtain, you know, those things are, you know, toys at Christmas time, whatever it may be, you know, fake Christmas tree. They all give off these VOCs at some level or another. And in a tight home, it's important, you know, that we flush those out. We don't want them to become concentrated because it's not healthy over time. So we can also measure those. And try to gauge, you know, where we need to be with the ventilation.
Sounds very complex.
It can be. It can be somewhat complex, especially when we get into larger homes. You know, it can get somewhat complex. And the ventilation system, if you really want a top-notch ventilation system and you really want that individual room control, it can get somewhat complex.
Indoor ventilation is just as important as what we talked about last week, energy loss.
It is, because if you can save all the money in the world, but if your health is negatively impacted, it simply doesn't matter. You know what I mean? So we want to create that balance. We want to have that balance between, you know, reasonable and low energy costs and a good healthy environment to live in. You know, that's at least that's my goal when I go into somebody's home and provide these services.
Right. And you've been doing this 10 years and you know your stuff.
Yeah, I try to.
Okay, let's switch gears if you don't mind, please. You know, a lot of people do renovations and they want their kitchen or their bathrooms, and cosmetically they want to make their house, their residence, the most appealing. Do you often find that when people take these tasks on, these renovation projects, that they make mistakes? And if they do make mistakes, what do you see the mistakes as being?
Yeah, I see that often, and I usually get called in after the fact, you know, when it's already done and they experience some problems. So a couple things to that. One is, you know, if you're doing a renovation, a lot of people don't think about an energy auditor of all things when they're doing a home renovation or an addition. But it's really the time to think about an energy auditor, because if you're going to be ripping out walls and changing facades and claddings and sidings and whatnot, or adding things on, there's your chance to not only improve the, you know, the aesthetics of your home, but to also improve, you know, the thermal envelope of the home and your heating and cooling systems in the home, and, you know, and things like that. So it's the prime time to take advantage of that, because there's no better time to do it than when you have walls or ceilings open and the contractor's in there doing work already. You know, to add that to the work scope, you know, it's the best situation. So I encourage people to think about that when they're doing renovations. And then some of the things that I see, you know, post renovation where somebody like myself didn't get involved, you know, there's certain things that can happen especially if you're changing the facade or the cladding on a home, where sometimes and inadvertently, you know, I don't think anybody does anything things on purpose. It's just a matter of understanding, you know, building science and building performance issues. They may go to a totally different new cladding, maybe like a drive-it system or something like that, and forget about, you know, drainage planes, and forget about what the consistency of the old wall is and where the vapor barriers and or vapor retarders are within that wall assembly. So just by changing the facade of the home, there's a potential to create huge problems if not all those things are thought through and investigated up front. And I've seen that many times. I've seen it happen, you know, when people try to bring in like maybe a walk-up attic, try to bring it in as part of the, you know, living space. I see many mistakes made in those situations. Or when they're trying to finish spaces above, like the bonus space above garages, I constantly see mistakes.
Basements, finished lower levels?
Oh yeah, that's big. Fixing up crawl spaces and or basements, there's a lot of factors that need to be considered when you're doing that, and that's a real easy one to mess up, and that's very common also.
So they do these projects and they find that they have a problem, and so you're called.
Sometimes I am, yeah. People that are aware of me are for you know, through word of mouth, you know, I'll get the call. And I've seen it happen on $125,000 homes, and I've worked on homes that cost $3-4 million that they've screwed up on. So I've seen the whole gamut.
And usually if it was done right, you know, the expense wouldn't be as great as then when you're called in.
Yes.
After the fact. What do you, give me an example of what you found and what your recommendations are at that point. Do you rip out work?
Yeah, well, one that I had worked on for the last few years was this is an extreme situation, but it's probably the most interesting. I mean, this is a home that was, you know, over $2 million. It was only about 2 years old when I got involved. Because of a new facade that was put on and improper insulating of ductwork in the attic. Between those two things, the walls were getting water in them and starting to mold up, and the sheathing was beginning to rot, and the ductwork was growing mold inside of it.
A $2 million home.
Yeah.
This, nice.
Yeah. So, you know, and I got, you know, nobody really, and again, nothing I don't think was done intentionally.
No.
You know, it was just the fact that people just didn't understand.
Poorly thought
what,
out.
Yeah, it was poorly thought out. They didn't understand what they were doing to that structure and to that ductwork and how, you know, the whole building science aspect would come into play, you know, it was a mess. And, you know, that thing cost, you know, $250,000 to fix it. So that's an extreme, extreme case. But the same exact things I've seen happen on much smaller scales. Either way, you know, the relative cost to that person is going to be extremely high to get that fixed.
I would imagine that's difficult for anybody to swallow at any point, no matter what the cost of the home. You think you did a good thing and you renovated and you remodeled to enhance your home and your living space, and then you come to find out that you have these major problems you have to contend with. Not fun for anyone.
Absolutely not.
Okay, what are some things that anyone, any listener out there can do to save, help with their energy loss, help them save energy now? What are some quick tips? Turning off lights at certain times? How about, a lot of people keep their computers on all the time, and in appliances, if you turn it off, is it off, or do you have to unplug it?
Yeah, I mean, some of the, you know, some of the things you can do is those appliances that you do keep on and or go into standby mode, or you're not sure whether they're in standby mode or not, is to put them on those energy saving plug-in strips. You know, that can help. And now you're talking about, you know, at that point you're really trying to fine tune things. You know, you're not talking about big dollars.
Just quick, simple, easy, everyday.
Yeah. And you know, I keep seeing for lights that you have on a lot, or maybe you have some lights that are on all the time or on all night long, I keep watching LED bulbs closely, and the price has dramatically come down. You know, it was hard to recommend them before because, you know, they were expensive.
They went through the roof. Yeah, they were expensive.
And even still, if you only have a reading lamp on 20 minutes a night, obviously you're not going to save anything. I mean, anything significant compared to the cost of the bulb. But bulbs that you're going to have on a lot, you may want to look into that. You know, if you have old refrigerators and you're going to replace it, obviously, you know, that's kind of a no-brainer there, to get a really efficient refrigerator. And they're all over the place nowadays. I don't think you can buy an inefficient one anymore. there's things you can do.
Caulking, weather stripping, round windows, and
you can
doors.
You could weather strip around your doors, you know, caulk your window moldings if they're leaking. You're better off having somebody pull them off and properly foaming the jams, but you know, that's another story. But
that's another show.
Yeah,
you know, using fans, circulating fans or ceiling fans to
you could, depending, it depends. There's a lot to that, but yeah, you could if needed. And water saving devices also, if you have you know, high flow high flow faucets or shower heads. You know, I've measured some, you know, dumping 4 to 6 gallons a minute. You know, they have really good ones on the market now between 1.6 and 2 gallons a minute that you still feel like you're taking a good shower. And they have, you know, aerators for sinks that are down to, you know, 0.5 for bathrooms and 1.5 for kitchens. You know, if you're paying for your water, city water, and also to heat it on the heat side, that'll save you some money. And it's really cheap to install those.
Pete Vargo, owner of New Tech Energy Solutions. What's your contact info, please?
You can reach me by phone at 570-490-3928. Again, 570-490-3928.
Thank you for 2 weeks of fabulous discussion. We really enjoyed our time with you, and we'll have you back sometime in the future, okay?
My pleasure, Jackie.
Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes, we have a well-maintained 3-bedroom, 2-bath home located at 431 Main Street in Moosic for only $99,000. This home has a brand new kitchen, low taxes of only $1,100, and off-street parking. It also has a newer furnace, a large rear level yard, and a new covered front porch. So if you're looking for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home with a brand new kitchen, give us a call about 431 Main Street in Moosic for only $99,000. And that's listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
Thank you, Pat. 10 cities with the cheapest home prices. Number 10, Kankakee, Illinois. 9, Buffalo, New York. 8 Moberly, Missouri, 7 Jonesboro, Georgia, 6 Sioux City, Iowa, 5 Jackson, Mississippi, 4 Saginaw, Michigan, 3 Flint, Michigan, 2 Garfield Heights, Ohio, and number 1 Cleveland, Ohio. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.